The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
It's Monday, May 6, 2024. This is End Time Headlines news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And this is your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. Listen, do me a favor if you're new, first time joining us, first time listening. If you have any opportunity in a comment section of a platform that you may be watching or listening from, let us know in the comment section that you are new. If you're in the YouTube chat, let us know that you're new, where you guys are joining us from. We always want to acknowledge our new listeners, and we welcome you to the program. We hope that you will enjoy the program and that you'll come back and be a regular viewer. Also, while you're at it, guys, just to take a few seconds to do this, please hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. All of this is going to help us push our content out there. And for your convenience and to be a blessing to you, free of cost, no charge to you, we want to encourage you to download our free app today. It's available on both Android and Apple devices. You can pick it up today at your Play Store. Again, depending on what you have, just download it today. Hit yes to push notifications. And this is how you're going to be able to keep up with all of our content, including these podcasts like the one you're listening to or watching right now, as well as all of our articles. So today, guys, I want to talk about something that I'm seeing increasing. This is something that Jesus warned about. He warned his disciples about it. He warned us about it. And let's take you right into what we're talking about. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to just read a little bit here, and then we'll expound on this. Now, as Jesus said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. And see that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, there will be pestilences, there will be earthquakes in various places, and all these are the beginning of sorrows." And again, in Greek, that is birth pangs. Here's where I want to go, verse 9. Listen to this. "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and you and I, all those that bear the name of Christ, that are followers of Jesus, will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended." Why are they being offended? They're offended by the name of Christ, by true, sold out Christians who bear the fruit of Christ, who are preaching the true, unadulterated, unwatered down, unfiltered word of God. This does not apply to lukewarm, passive, wishy-washy, woke, progressive Christianity. Those individuals are not preaching the true gospel. They're not offending anyone with their message. They are catering to them and scratching itching ears. But for us who hold the standard and preach the whole counsel of God, including turning from your sins, iniquities, transgressions, trespasses, and preaching on sin and the need of a Savior, we are going to suffer, according to Christ's words, persecution, tribulation. There will be offense that will come. Let me pull this back up. Matthew 24 is where we're at. If you guys listen by Apple, by Spotify, I'm in verse 10. "And many will be offended, will betray one another and hate one another, all on the account of Jesus." So today, friends, I want to talk for the next few moments about, we're in a time now where, if you gather in a place of corporate worship, howbeit a brick and mortar building, a house of faith, I don't know what that looks like to you. It may be a synagogue. It may be a quote unquote church. It may be a gathering in a place where there's a lot of believers. I come by to tell you today that you better keep your head on a swivel and worship with one eye open. Now, Brother Ricky, why are you saying that? Why are you warning this? Because I don't know if you've been, this is what we do. This is, you know, and I don't expect everybody to notice this or catch this or be aware of this, but we are called to be watchmen on the wall. And as a watchman, I notice these things. And that's why our ministry is to warn and inform the believers and the listeners so you can be aware of this. Here's an article that came out a while back, but we're seeing this now coming more and more to fruition. Listen, this is the headline of this article. Attacks on churches are up 800%. Think about that. Attacks on churches, houses of worship, houses of faith, are up 800%, but that is only a small preview of what is coming in 2024 and beyond. Now, this article was written by Michael Snyder, and it was dated March 6 of this year. But he's basing this, let's read a little bit about this. Violence against Christianity in the U.S. has risen dramatically in recent years, but what we have seen so far is nothing compared to what is coming. And if the 2024 presidential election goes a certain way, now this is his opinion here. You see, the truth is that most of the violence being directed at Christian churches is being done for political reasons. Whether it is accurate or not, many of the left consider evangelical Christians to be Donald Trump's most hardcore supporters. And church buildings are the most visible representation of the evangelical movement. Since church buildings are not guarded most of the time, they are easy targets, and they're being attacked at a frequency that we have not seen before in the entire history of this country. According to a report that was released by the Family Research Council's church attacks in the U.S., now this was back in March of this year, have risen 800% in the last 6 years. Quote, while the Biden administration cracks down on the Christians, Democrats, and the press smear as extremists, church attacks are up 800% in the last 6 years, according to a new report from the Family Research Council. In February, the conservative group published the report, Hostility Against Churches is on the Rise in the U.S. It identified 915 acts of hostility against churches between January of 2018 and November 2023. 915 acts. Since the ruling of the Supreme Court decision that overturned Roe versus Wade, there has been an explosion of church attacks. That's just one venue of this. The report found hostile church incidences more than doubled in 2023 compared to 2022, while 436 counted a year after the Supreme Court's decision returned abortion lawmaking to state legislators. The number of attacks in 2023 was more than 8 times greater than those reported in 2018. So it appears that a lot of this is based on what's happened in the political arena. For example, y'all remember when a crazed woman walked into Lakewood Church, this is Joel Osteen's church, and began shooting. It was not because of what he was preaching. Quote, a woman who walked into Lakewood Church on a Sunday afternoon had a long gun and a 7-year-old son opened fire before she was eventually taken out by law enforcement officers. The gunfire left a child in critical condition and another man injured. Authorities are now probing the shooting at televangelist and Pastor Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church, roughly 6 miles from downtown Houston. Again, this is past tense. The woman was identified. She was a 36-year-old woman who entered the church shortly before 2 p.m. wearing a trench coat and a backpack and opened fire. Houston Police Chief Troy Finner said in a Sunday afternoon news conference, the AR-15 that was used in that shooting on the side of the gun said Palestine on the gun. She was a pro-Palestinian radical that hated evangelical support for the nation of Israel. Now, having said that, I want to say that I believe now, and this is why I agree with Michael Snyder's assessment, because look what's happening lately. We're going to show you some stories here, but I'm going to tell you guys, as Israel now is warning that they're getting ready to advance their military operations, this is only going to increase. Look what's happening at universities across the nation. Just yesterday, we'll talk about, I don't want to jump ahead here, but we'll get to an incident that happened just yesterday. That's why I said, with the environment that we're in right now, the hostility, the lawlessness, the political upheaval that's going on, if you are involved in and you regularly are attending and you serve in, you're a part of a congregation of a group of believers in a physical brick and mortar building, you better keep your head on a swivel and worship with one eye open, because this is becoming more and more prevalent. Here's another report. This one is from the Christian Post. Now, this one is dated April 29th, so this is more recent. Look at this headline, quote, "Persecution watchdog warns of growing hostility to Christians in the U.S. They call it frogs in the kettle. The president of a nonprofit Christian persecution watchdog that monitors hostility to faith and freedom abroad has come out and sounded the alarm that too few Christians in America and the West seem aware of how such trends are manifesting at home." Listen to what this man is saying. Quote, "Basically, we are frogs in the kettle and the bubbles keep coming up under us." This was according to Jeff King, who is the president of the Washington, D.C.-based International Christian Concern, or ICC. Recently, he had an interview with the Christian Post, and he said, quote, "Too many people are not aware politically, and they're so used to thinking of how things were that they can't figure out where these bubbles are coming from, not realizing that they are being cooked." He highlights one particular case in Texas where Stacy Barber, she is a school teacher who sued the Katy Independent School District near Houston in March after her principal allegedly reprimanded her last September, ready for this, for praying with two other teachers at the school's flagpole as part of the See You at the Pole, an annual international event. She was reprimanded for this. The administrator reportedly told her the teachers were not allowed to pray where students could see them and be influenced to join. According to the American Center for Law and Justice, teachers were told they, quote, could not pray in any location where students would be present, even if this praying occurred before the school day began. This is according to a lawsuit. Barber had previously also been barred from starting a campus chapter of Students for Christ, and the school board instituted a policy mandating that employees will neither advance nor inhibit religion. According to CBN, the statement said that, quote, "employees may not promote, lead, or participate in religious activities of non-curriculum related student groups." Now, of course, the ACLJ stated that this was blatantly unconstitutional. Meanwhile, an Oklahoma Senate bill could allow, just from the verbiage of it and the writing of it, could allow Satanists to put the Satanic Temple to be permitted to send ministers into schools because of this bill. Check it out. Here's more on this.
Meanwhile, a bill that would allow for chaplains of any federally recognized faith to work in Oklahoma schools, even the Satanic Temple, is moving forward.
News 4's Capitol Bureau Chief Kaylee Olivas has more.
If Jesus were to come back today, he'd be flipping your tables over, because he did not preach to have a Christian nation or a theocratic nation rooted in any religion.
We're not bringing them in because we want a certain religious belief pushed. We're bringing them in because, you know, they have those all of those other qualifications and able to assist.
A divide between lawmakers on a bill that would allow for school chaplains in Oklahoma. It narrowly passed last week with a vote of 54 to 37.
I feel like it's something important, you know, when there's a tragedy in a, especially in a school, the local ministers come and help.
Now that it's advancing, the Satanic Temple says it plans to send ministers to school if signed into law, all in an effort to make a point that all religions should be accepted under this proposal.
Wow. So listen to this.
The question is why? Why is it that we pretend that we need ministers or people do ministerial duties in schools when parents, families, anybody else has learned a long time ago to hold these things separate?
Show me in the Constitution where that verbiage is used, and it's not in there.
But the Oklahoma Constitution states, quote, no public money or property shall ever be appropriated, applied, donated for the use, benefit, or support of any sect, church, denomination, or system of religion. Republican Representative Kevin West acknowledges that, but says this will not benefit a singular religion. Also adding, some chaplains will be volunteers and not paid with taxpayer dollars. Students can also opt out with a parent permission.
We will remember who you are. We will put Satanists in the schools, and we will be sure everybody knows that it was you specifically who invited the Satanists there.
Wow. I mean, what do you even, again, the thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and destroy. So through legal verbiages, through legalities, legislations, the devil is coming in to kill, steal, and destroy. And again, persecution, guys, is raising up again. We in America, in the West, we thought we was impervious to this. We thought that we would not see this. Oh, that's only for, you know, that's only for over in the Middle East. We don't have to, we won't have to worry about that. That'll never come here. It is here. It's happening right before our eyes. It's time to wake up. Let me get back to this article. Jeff King warned and has observed that American culture has shifted dramatically within the past 30 years or so, and that the population has been softened up to the creeping totalitarian and anti-Christian impulses of their political leaders. Wow, what a statement, and it's absolutely true. Friends, think about it. I thought about this today. I was taking notes for this program, and I jotted down some stuff. Think about what's happening right now. We have celebrities and Hollywood figures who are openly bashing the Bible and Christianity. We have children that are being removed from Christian parents who refuse to surrender to gender woke ideology. You've got Christian parents who are being refused by adoption agencies. They're being denied to adopt children based on their Christian faith. We have companies and their employees who are being terminated. You've got companies who are, terminating employees. Why? For not using preferred pronouns. Bibles are being removed from businesses that once displayed them openly. You have lawmakers and our neighbor to the north in Canada that is considering a bill that would remove religious exemption from hate speech laws. You have some states here in America that are already shutting down home Bible studies, citing laws. Come on. And even ministers of the gospel are being fined and threatened for simply feeding the homeless in certain communities. So don't tell me that persecution is not increasing. Meanwhile, you have congressional Republicans that are outraged over the voting for this Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, voicing concerns that it could make portions of the New Testament, the Bible, illegal. We've got a video on this. I want to show you a little bit more on this.
Focused on. And meanwhile, Marjorie Taylor Greene kicking up controversy for a completely other reason. Today, she announced she was voting against a bill to combat anti-Semitism. And in her reasoning, she invoked an anti-Semitic trope. I want to read you what she said in her post on social media. She said, anti-Semitism is wrong, but I will not be voting for the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act today that could convict Christians of anti-Semitism for believing the gospel that says Jesus was handed over to Herod to be crucified by the Jews. Now, that claim that Jewish people were responsible for the death of Jesus has historically been used to justify anti-Semitic attacks on the Jewish community. So just another example of Green's controversial behavior, and also not the first time she has used anti-Semitic rhetoric. Aaron?
So listen, I would love to hear your thoughts on this. Do you agree with Green? Do you believe that this is hyperbole and this won't lead to that? You know, because this is stirring up a lot of controversy. There is some extreme commentary on this, stating that this will that they're saying it that the that this this legislation is going to result in the banning of the entire Bible, and I don't attest to that. I don't believe that. But could this open a door for that to give a foothold for this in the future? It's going to be interesting. So I'd love to hear your opinion on this, but. Again, we have to bring it out. We have to talk about this because this is on the forefront right now. And when you couple this with the hate crime legislation laws, I believe you do have a perfect concoction for what could be suppression of speech and even, again, the word of God being targeted. So we'll see how this plays out in the near future. Then you had this. I don't know if y'all remember this story. This took place on Easter. A trailer full of Bibles was set on fire outside of, this was a church in Tennessee. This was Pastor Greg Locke's church, Global Vision Church there, who, again, according to this report, I think there's pictures of this. Now, this took place on Easter Sunday. As far as I know, this is still under investigation. But someone pulled up into the parking lot of Global Vision Church there in Tennessee, Pastor Greg Locke's church, with an entire trailer full of Bibles that were burned. So again, this is a level of persecution. Now, again, you may agree or disagree or like or dislike Greg Locke, whatever. I'm not here to debate that. That's not what our focal point is. Our focal point is this right here is targeting the faith of Christianity. And then yesterday, this was within 24 hours, you had a man who was arrested who was accused of trying to shoot the pastor during a sermon at a Pennsylvania church. Now, we're not going to pull the video up because I don't want to get hit with, because Google will flag stuff like that for violence or whatever. So but according to the report in North Braddock, Pennsylvania, this was on Sunday morning, a man pulled up a gun on the pastor in the middle of his sermon. Pennsylvania State Police charged a 26-year-old individual who said he entered and attempted to shoot the pastor while he was delivering a sermon at Jesus Dwelling Place Church on Sunday afternoon, just after 1 p.m. Now, this is an actual photo. Here's the man standing there with the firearm aimed right at the pastor, but something miraculous happened. The pastor said, quote, "I was like, this is not happening. Yet somehow it was, but no shot was fired." He said, quote, "I thank God because only God stopped and jammed the gun." So the gun jammed. He went to shoot and the gun miraculously jammed and no shot was fired. As the pastor ducked out of the way, a church deacon leaped in front of the camera, tackling the man with the gun to the ground. Now, this comes on the heels of a stabbing, and there was multiple stabbings. The recent one was at a Sydney, this is in Australia, Sydney church, that ended up where a bishop was wounded and worshipers were also wounded. And it was this unfolded during a live stream mass and was treated as an act of terrorism. A 16-year-old teenager was arrested after the attack at the Christ the Good Shepherd Church in Sydney, Australia, that wounded Bishop Marie Emmanuel. The attack came just 2 days and only a couple of dozen miles away from an unrelated rampage at the Westfield Bondi Junction that left six dead. This New South Wales Police Commissioner Karen Webb said the suspect's remarks hinted at a religious motivation for the attack. Look, here's I want you to get this, guys, and you need to really let this soak in. For years, we have become familiar with watching news, reading articles about these type of attacks that are happening overseas. Nigeria, Iran, and Israel, and Turkey, and Iraq. You hear about the bombings, the shootings, the stabbings, all these things. You read about these overseas, but now we're seeing headlines that's happening right here in the West. Everything that we saw over there, the spirits that are attached to these type of acts, and we just talked about this on our last podcast on Friday. We talked about lawlessness as one of the spirits that is paving the way for the Antichrist and his arrival. Paul addressed it and entitled it the mystery of iniquity. This spirit that's already at work, it was at work in his day, and it's only going to wax worse. It's only going to increase and intensify as we get closer to the coming of the Lord and the end of the age, Matthew 24. So what you're reading about, what you're hearing about, what we're talking about, what we're experiencing, what we're witnessing, we have to prepare ourselves mentally, emotionally, spiritually, that this is only going to increase and intensify because demons are running rampant. Hell is on notice. Satan knows his time is running out. The clock is ticking. We're going this week. It may be, I don't know when we're going to talk about this, but there was a new report that came out. We'll dig into this a little bit, that the apocalypse, the end times, is now becoming a normal conversation in everyday society, not just in circles of eschatology, not in just circles of end time preaching and preachers and watchmen. We understand that to be of a commonality in those circles. But what happens when normal civilization is now considering apocalyptic events, end times, scenarios as something of normality? That's how we know, friends, that this thing's about to wrap up. And we're gonna touch on that this week. I don't know what day we're going to talk about that, but I want you to, again, I want you to soak this in, because you need to prepare. If you're part of a congregation, make sure. I have no problem with a staff that is armed for this very reason. Wisdom. Look, I know people get bent out of shape about this stuff when you start talking about that. Well, Jesus said, those that live by the sword die by the sword, and we're supposed to turn the other cheek. But it's funny, the same people, you never hear them talk about this. Luke 22:35. And he said to them, when I sent you without money, bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? This is when he was sending them out two by two, and he was sending the disciples out to preach the gospel. So they said nothing. Now listen to what he says in verse 36. Then he said to them, but now, somebody say, but now, he who has a money bag, let him take it. Now it's time to have, can I preach on this for about 10 minutes? Is this okay? Let me read this and I'm going to preach a little bit here. Then he said to them, but now he who has a money bag, let him take it. And likewise, a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you, that which is written must still be accomplished in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors for the things concerning me have an end. So notice here that there is a transition. When even Christ understood, I'm going to go back to the scripture, but I'm going to pull it away for a second so you can look at me and I'm going to talk to you for a minute. There was a time in the ministry of Jesus when he started his ministry that the culture and the environment was it was tolerant to his message. Come on, follow with me. I'm going to try to talk. I'm going to slow this down a little bit. It was tolerant to the gospel. It was accepting of the good news. Blind eyes are open. Now, I'm talking about the most of that known culture that day. We're not talking about the religious sects, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law. They rejected the message of the gospel because it threatened their seats of authority and position. So we're not including them, okay? And that's nothing new. It's still today. But I'm talking about society as a whole. Here's a guy that comes in and is doing something that no one has ever done before. He's healing the sick. He's raising the dead. He's casting out devils. He's doing all these miraculous things. And the common world, the common people are loving it. They're embracing it. I mean, who wouldn't? Your kid just got raised from the dead. You were starving and he just multiplied fish and bread and now you don't have to starve. He just caused fish to fill your net, Peter, James, and John. Who wouldn't like this guy? A centurion came and said, look, you don't even have to go into my house. Just speak the word only and it shall be done. He understood who Jesus was. But as time went on, oh, you ready for this? As time went on, and society was under the Roman law, under the Roman authority of that day, there was laws placed, set in place by the Romans, and there was a lot of politicizing going on. Are you hearing me? That affected and impacted the Jews economically, sociably, all of this. And when Jesus and his word and his followers and their word, which is one and the same, if you're really a follower of Jesus, when it began, watch this, when it began to threaten the norm of society, when it began to get in their business, when it began to flip tables of the government of that day, and it opposed the government of that day. When Jesus began to call out leaders of the public, public figures, public leaders, people and seated positions of authority, when he's calling them out, like John did, calling them to repent and turn from evil, turn from their adultery, turn from their transgressions, this began to ruffle feathers in the Roman Empire, and it already had ruffled feathers in the religious organization of his day. So in the beginning, when the climate was not hostile, are you listening to me? Then he said to them, go and take no money. Take no thought of what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink. Don't bring a sword. You don't need to bring all that. Just go and bring the word of God. And they will, you know, if they don't receive you, they've not received me. If they reject you, they reject me. Just shake the dust off your feet and move on and go on and move to the next city. But then I find it very intriguing that as Jesus got closer to the fulfillment of his ministry, when things began to shift, when the environment began to shift and there was greater hostility, adversity, and persecution arising against Christ, his disciples, and his message, the tune changed and Jesus's command changed. Are you hearing me? So the same group of disciples, he looks at them in Luke 22. I'm in your Bible. I'm not making this up. I'm in your Bible. Jesus said to them, I know I sent you out with no money, no knapsack, and nothing to defend yourself. But things have changed. I'm paraphrasing this. I'm in Luke 22. Now he says to them, if you've got a money bag, take it with you. Take your knapsack. And if you don't have a sword, he said, go and sell a garment. Go sell your coat and get a sword. Now, why would they need a sword? The answer is, if you study out the culture of that day, there were thieves, robbers, and people who did not like them or their message and was threatening their lives and their families' lives. And Jesus said, it's okay to defend yourself. Come on, somebody. I want to preach this, whether you want to hear it or not. I know people's going to get mad because I'm preaching this a message like this, but I'm in your Bible. So what I'm trying to tell you, listen, if you don't get anything out of this, you better get this and you better wake up right now. We're not living in your mama and daddy's Christianity in the West anymore. We're not living in your granddaddy and grandmama's Christianity in the West anymore. The days of getting your Bible and getting on your nice Sunday dress and your little suit on and everybody and get little Billy Joe and Tammy Lou and get them all cleaned up and polished up and go to church and have a good old time and never have to worry about any kind of tribulation or worry about their lives being threatened or some lunatic coming to church. Those days are over. The winds of change have come to the West. Time is running out. We're coming to the end of the age and the soon coming of the Lord. And because we're in this environment now, lawlessness is abounding. The days are wicked. The days are evil. The thief is going about seeking who he may devour, to kill, steal, and destroy. So you better keep that head on a swivel. Look around. Be aware of what you're doing. Be alert. Pay attention, guys. When you walk in, if you're new, if you're going into a church, look where the exits are. Look where the entrances are. Look where the windows are. Look if there was an emergency situation take place. Are you going to be able to get out of that place? Are you going to be able to get out? Are you sitting in a position or in a place where you can easily get out of an exit or get out of a window or get out of a doorway or get to a place of safety? I know this is, you don't want to talk about this, but you better be aware of what's going on around you. Does the church have security? Are they going to be able to protect you and your family? Now we're going to pray. It would be absolutely ridiculous if I did not pray and in this segment. We're going to pray, but listen, we can pray and pray and pray, but faith without works is dead. We got to do our part. We got to pay attention. We got to be aware of what's going on around us because we are living, as Paul said, in perilous times. Come on, let's finish this segment right now. Let's pray. Everybody's listening. Everybody's watching. We're going to pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this word that you've given us. Lord, this is a very sobering word. Lord, it's not one of those hoot and holler and clap and shout and hallelujah and amen messages. But Lord, this is a sobering warning for us in the West who have become comfortable in our westernized Christianity with our padded pews, padded seating, our fog machines, our theatrics, our heating and cooling, and all of the bells and whistles, but the days of being comfortable without the fear of persecution and tribulation are over. We understand that we're living in different times and we're living in a different culture and environment now, and we have to be alert. We have to be vigilant. We have to be aware. Father, you said in your word in the book of Peter, be vigilant and be alert and be aware, for the devil is like a roaring lion going to and fro and seeking whom he may devour. Father, you said in your word that we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Lord, I pray that every individual under the sound of my voice that's watching or listening, Lord, that we are not allowing ourselves to become setting ducks. But we become aware, we be alert, and we be diligent and do our homework to secure our family's safety the best of our ability. Now, Father, we're going to do everything we can in our own strength, but we rely on the supernatural protecting power of the Lord. Father, I acknowledge according to your word that there are unforeseen security. Oh, come on, somebody. We have unforeseen security for us, and it's called the angels of the Lord. Lord, you said in Psalms 34:7 that the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear you and delivers them. Lord, and I understand in the Hebrew, that means it is an encampment. Angels are encamped around our homes, encamped around our families. They're with us. You said to Joshua, the angel of the Lord shall go before you. Lord, I thank you that these angels are going before us to the houses of worship. They're going to the places wherever we go. And Lord, they're warding off and they're fending off attacks that we may never know that was warded off. There may have been assignments of hell that that never came to the light of day because, Lord, your angels came and protect. I believe this is exactly what happened in Pennsylvania, Lord, because that man's gun did not fire. It locked up. I believe an angel of the Lord protected that pastor. Just like the man in Sydney when he tried to stab an individual and he couldn't do it and he couldn't get the knife to work correctly or something happened with the knife. Lord, same situation, same scenario. Even at Olsteen Church, nobody lost their life. Lord, I believe that's angelic protection. Unforeseen protection. I pray that, Father, the angel of the Lord would protect us and keep us based on your word in Psalms 34:7, Psalms chapter 91. You said that the angel of the Lord shall bear us up in their hands lest we dash our foot against a stone. I declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper in Jesus' name. Father, I plead the blood. I profess the blood of Jesus over every family that's represented here today, by visual or by listening to me. If you're the head of your house, you're the husband, you're the wife, your family, I plead the blood over you, your spouse, over your family, over your children, your grandchildren, over, come on, your whole household in Jesus' name. I declare that no weapon shall be formed against you will prosper. That's every knife, every gun, every bomb, every weapon, every assignment of the enemy will not prevail in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, I pray that if there be any assignments of the future in churches that are represented here today, if the houses of faith that are represented here today by you, by your family, if the enemy tries to accomplish something like this, I pray they be exposed in Jesus' name. The authorities would see them. It would be revealed and that it will not prevail. And I pray this today and we pray this today in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Listen, guys, I appreciate you coming on to the program today. Please, again, don't forget to hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that bell notification. Help us push out our material on these platforms. Don't forget to pick up your free app today. Under the description of the video, there's a link that says download our free app. You can go and click that link, and that's the easiest way. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, just type in End Time Headlines. Look for our official ETH logo. Get our app today. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry informs you, blesses you, equips you, encourages you, all the above, week after week after week, pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can help us get the word out. You can do that two different ways. One is electronically through the app or through the main website right there on the screen. If you're listening by app or by Spotify, go to endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, or again, by the app, go all the way down to the bottom and click on donate. It's going to take you to a page where you can give depending on, there's multiple platforms there, a way you can give electronically. Or you can give by check or money order, and you can make it out to right there on your screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So this is going to close out this program for tonight. We will be right back here. This week, I'm not We'll announce this, but we may be off tomorrow and be on here Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I'll let you know more about that. If not, we'll be on here tomorrow, be off Wednesday, and be Thursday and Friday. So we'll let you know. If you follow us on social media, on Facebook, on YouTube, on Telegram, or whatever these platforms are, we'll give you that announcement. So just be ready. Either tomorrow we'll be off and be ahead of the rest of the week, or we'll be on tomorrow and be off Wednesday and be on here Thursday and Friday. So we'll let you know, because we got some things that are coming up that we have to rearrange our schedule, and we may have to. So if we do that, either way, we'll be here four times this week as we always do. So we love you guys. We appreciate you. And until we see you again, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.